Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Kajewski has it off the inbound. Right side the heel, off a Draymond screen, the three drops through for Buddy. Warriors lead 102-91. Electrifying player of the game is putting the headset on right now, Buddy.
What's up?
First of all, congratulations on
Oh, shit.
What?
All the candy's off.
Oh, no.
You're hurting yourself down there, buddy.
No. It's okay.
All the candy's off.
We got people that'll help with that.
I'll pick it up.
Okay. So, congratulations on a great win. And, you know, Tom was talking earlier tonight about the way you guys pushed tempo, especially in the third quarter. How important was that?
Trying to get out with Paige. Steve talking about, like, you know, we're starting with the lineup, trying to get back to what we were doing earlier. You know, and we didn't start off how we want to, but you know, and as the game get on, we got our swagger, we picked it back up, and we figured it out.
You know, everybody goes through peaks and valleys over an 82-game season. How was it for you the last couple of weeks? I know you weren't scoring the way you would like to score, the way you can score. So how much fun did you have tonight?
In the course of 82 games, you know, it's always that weird spot, that mental block that you always hit. And, sometimes everybody, like, when you start off so good, you know, you want to keep the consistency. But, like, teams tend to figure you out. You know, we hit a wall, and hopefully this game can help us get over this hump, and we get back to winning basketball.
Buddy, how much did that pace help in the third quarter? Not only how much did it help, why did it help? What is it about pace for an offensive player that kind of helps you get in the flow?
You know, just teams can't keep up with it. Teams don't like to guard it. It's hard to script random. And yep. Play with continuity, be selfish and sacrifice, and good things happen.
And with this team being able to play such good defense in the half court, I'm sure it helps you guys to try to get out and hit them before they set up.
Right. That's why we wanted to get out and put a fast line out there, and it worked out, you know. And just keep being patient, keep staying humble, and now build up this one. It was big. You can feel the energy in the building.
Well, you had 27 points tonight, Buddy. 10 of 18 shooting, 7 of 13 beyond the arc, 4 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a team and game high plus 17. And you tied your season high for threes with 7 for the third time. By the way, your next made three is going to be number 2,000. So that's incredible.
Oh, bless.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Buddy Hield, our guest. And great to see him out there knocking down shots and having fun again as the Warriors come away with the 114-106 win. They end a 5-game losing streak to the Timberwolves, and they had lost the last 4 here at home. To the Wolves as well. So this is a big win. Golden State outscores the Wolves by 10 in fast break points. They outscore by 15 in the second chance points. Well, a thrilling win here at Chase Center tonight. Warriors win 114-106 over a very good Minnesota squad. And even though they got off to around a little bit of below 500 start this year, they're a team to be reckoned with in the West. They're going to be there at the end. They're really good, and Anthony Edwards is just—he's marvelous. I mean, he's going to be a pain in the butt for everybody in the league for years and years to come. So, I think that's what we're looking at here. But the Warriors found a way to win tonight. I thought this is what they need to do to win against really good teams. They've got to get contributions from other guys. Tonight was Buddy Hield scoring. Gary Payton doing a lot of the little things. Jonathan Kuminga pulled down 7 rebounds and a couple of really tough rebounds as well. And if he could do that, along with his athletic ability and his scoring, he had 20 points tonight. Warriors with 3 guys scoring 20 or more, first time since late April of last year against the Rockets. But, Tom, I think this is a really encouraging win for Golden State tonight.
Yeah, it was nice to see. Hopefully gets Buddy back going again. And, you know, like he said, there are just going to be stretches throughout the season where you're just not shooting it well. And he got going tonight. It really, really good to see. I thought Jonathan. I'm more impressed with the 7 rebounds, the scoring, the 20 points. That's fine, but the block shots, 3, and the rebounds. You just want to see him contribute in other ways. So when he's not scoring well, you know he's still out there and he's still going to be a threat. But really, it was kind of about Steph and Buddy doing their thing. 12 of 24 from 3-point land. Like, they made 8 threes. We talked about you got to make some shots. Well, they made 8 threes in both halves, but the first half was 8 for 26. Second half was 8 for 15. So the percentages were much, much better in the second half. And I thought the defense was really good, especially when they needed it. T-Wolves retook the lead on a Anthony Edwards 3 with about 3-4 minutes to go. And after that, the T-Wolves were just locked down. And mostly it was them locking down Anthony Edwards, who didn't make another field goal after that bucket. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many ebbs and flows that go with an NBA season, especially if you're not, like, the dominant team. It's just tough to, you know, string a whole bunch of wins together and then avoid a streak where you have some losses. And, you know, you have an 8-2 10 games, and you have a 3-7 10 games, and you have a, you know, 6-4 and a 4-6, and you're kind of 5, 6, 7, 8 games above 500. So that's just what it's going to be. It's not going to be a team that wins, you know, the days of 60 wins obviously are gone. I still think they can win, you know, close to 50, upper 40s, but there's probably about 6 other teams in the West that feel like they're that team too. They can win upper 40s, lower 50s games. There's just so many teams. You look at on any given night, you say, boy, that's going to be a really, really tough matchup. And then within that, you have teams that maybe don't give anybody else really tough problems, but they give you tough problems. Like, I mean, the Clippers are pretty good, but they give us problems all over the place.
They beat the Warriors twice, yep. And it wasn't a mirage or, you know, whatever. And then Minnesota goes down there and wins by, what, 35?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's just, you know, a lot of it is matchup-based. But it at some point, we could talk about all the other stuff. You got to be able to hit shots to give yourself a chance. Not only did they hit shots, they got up more shots. And that came in handy in the second half, where the first half they kind of kept themselves – in the game by outshooting the Wolves by 8, but only made 18 field goals compared to the Wolves 21. Well, in the second half, they only outshot them by 2, but they ended up the game plus 6 in field goals. So they went minus 3 to plus 6. They were plus 9 in the second half. So you get more, and now you're making some shots. That's where you start to kind of generate some momentum and get your leads and so forth. So, yeah, anytime they get more shots than their opponent and turn the ball over fewer times. I mean, they turned over 13 times.
4 in the second half.
Exactly. Second half, they were fantastic. They 13 points, so that's fine. T-Wolves turned over 15 for 24 points. A lot of those just led to flat-out runouts for the Warriors, and if they weren't run-out layups, they were run-out kick-out threes. They were wide-open threes, like a wide-open Pajemski three or wide-open Buddy Hield three. So, yeah, it was a really nice effort. Now it makes them feel good, I'm sure, going into Houston on Wednesday.
You know, the other thing, you got to give credit to the coaching staff tonight because they...
No, I don't.
Bear down over there.
Beer down or bear down?
Well, both, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
With you, it's both. It's
thank you.
You know, and usually one outweighs the other.
Yes.
because, again, they're constantly, you know, looking at things, especially when you're not playing well, to try to get something going. And I thought tonight it was really important for them, I think, to get Buddy Hield playing alongside Steph and Draymond, get him some other looks tonight that maybe he hasn't been getting coming off the bench, to get him going again and putting him in the starting lineup, putting GP2 out there. And, yeah, he did get into some foul trouble in the first half. But, you know, anytime he matches up with somebody, the other person's irritated, you know, because he's right up on him the whole game. I mean, Anthony Edwards had, you know, a great Anthony Edwards night. He had 27 points. But I guarantee you, he did not want to look at Gary Payton's mug all night long.
No.
You know? And so, you know, by doing that, going small to open the game, to try to get some of their guys going, I think it worked really well.
No, I really think it did as well. But, again, I'll go back to the pace in the third quarter. That's where it all started to kind of blossom, where guys started like, okay, this is what it should look like. And, again, they were getting great shots, but they were making them. They were finally started to make them, so it all kind of came together. It was like a confluence of factors. Let's get stops. They did. And they didn't do it the whole quarter. They gave up 32 points. But when they did, they went. And even when they scored, they went. I mean, it was like a concerted effort. Let's go. Push the ball up. Gary Payton got two layups off just running. That was it. Nothing special, just running. So he runs. He gets two layups. Buddy Hield started getting his shot going there in the third quarter. Like I said, Bajemski hit a three. They just started getting really, really comfortable. And I thought that was the overall key. We'll see if they're able to do that. I mean, it's hard to do. You got to be in really good shape to do that. And when you're running the whole game, because it's commitment to do it for more than a quarter. Now, you can do it for a quarter, but running's hard. Everybody says they want to run, but it's not easy, because you got to be committed to running, and then you have to also get back on defense, and then you got to run again. It can't be, well, let's just go ahead and jog it up the court three or four times in a row. No, maybe once, but you got to get back going. And everyone's got to run for it to work, because when you're running, you're not just running for you. You're running for your teammates. If I don't get open, I'm going to pull the defense with me, and somebody else behind me will get open. And it was really beautiful to watch in the third quarter.
One of the secrets of the Boston Celtic dynasty in the 60s was not only did they were stacked. I mean, they had Hall of Famers up and down the roster, but they played really fast. And Red Auerbach's theory was, I want the other team to try to force them to make decisions very quickly,
yep.
And I want them in the fourth quarter to be thinking about how tired they are as opposed to how they're going to win the game.
Yep.
And so they would literally run some teams out of the gym because they were pushing the ball all the time and trying to get the ball up the floor quickly. So it's a tried and true tactic.
Well, mentally it wears on you. Like, I remember when I was playing with the Warriors, you could see teams. Like, they just didn't want to keep running. They want to keep getting back on defense, and it's not easy. Mentally, it wears on you, knowing that, God, miss, if we shoot quick here, if we take this shot, if we get they get the rebound, man, they're gone, and we're gonna have to run like heck to get back on defense. And then there they come again, and then there they come again, and you know that any little mistake you make in the open court can be lethal. Especially when you had the team that we had with Timmy, Mitch, and Chris. I mean, you make a mistake. You know, there's Mitch slicing to the hoop. There's Timmy crossing someone over. There's Chris hitting a perimeter jump shot. It puts a strain on teams when you got to make that commitment to get back on defense, and then you have to locate the players. And then not only do you got to locate the players, you got to locate where they're at, who's who, and can they shoot? Are they drivers? Do they like to go left? Do they like to go right? Like, you're thinking of all these things because everything's happening so quick. And that's why, as an offense, if you make that commitment and you're smart about it, you don't want to go goofy where you're just like chucking up everything. You're like, well, this is fun. We're running. Let's just shoot shots. No, you're looking for a good shot. If you don't have it, then you get into your early offense. But you can still get mismatches at that point, too, because they're still mismatched because they had to run to get back. And it's even different. It's even tougher now, probably, just because you have to fly out to the three-point line and you have to guard shooters all over the place, where that wasn't part of the game really back when I was playing. It's maybe one guy you had to worry about. But, yeah, that was – and, again, they didn't have the same pace in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Because it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard to run.
But what they did in the fourth quarter, they haven't done lately, execute.
Yes, they did.
They did.
And defensively.
So I will see you either a week from today – against either Oklahoma City or Dallas.
Yep.
Or I will see you on December 23rd.
My goodness.
And we don't know until we find out what happens with the cup.
The cup.
The cup.
The cup.
Who knows? Tom could join you in Las Vegas.
The cup runneth over.
It's possible. It's possible.
It's possible.
There have been rumors.
There have been rumors. It's still TBA. To be announced. We will see. We're trying to work something out.
Look at you negotiating.
Well, most certainly doesn't help that after the cup is like a road trip.
Memphis to Minnesota.
Yeah, that's not helping me out.
Oh, come on. A little Beale Street, a little barbecue.
A little no. I can have barbecue. I can
a little
have,
no.
I can have barbecue here. I'm good. I'm totally fine.
You can have Big Nate's barbecue right here at Chase Center.
Yes,
that's
you can.
Right. Big Nate's
barbecue.
Very,
very
good.
Tasty.
Very good, RC.
Yes, RC. I see what you did.
Yes, Nate Thurman, Hall of Famer. Part of that great all-Akron team.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good team. Was it him, LeBron?
Steph, LeBron, Nate Thurman, Gus Johnson, and send it in, Jerome.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's a start. I'm sure there's somebody around there I missed, but anyway.
I wonder who has the best team, like Oakland.
Oakland.
Oakland's going to be a rough one.
Oakland. Russell.
Yep.
Silas.
Yep.
Damian Lillard.
Yep.
Jason Kidd.
GP.
that's a
pretty solid one.
Ooh.
That's a pretty solid Ooh. One. I wonder who else is from East Lansing.
Oh, Anthony Davis, the not Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know the one from
Antonio Davis.
UTEP.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And the other guy from
Greg
UTEP.
Foster.
Greg Foster. Yeah, you got
from
depth.
Oakland as well. Yeah, you definitely got
physicality.
Depth.
Oh, man.
Is Draymond from East Lansing?
He's from Saginaw.
Saginaw, that's
and he'll
right.
tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm glad I didn't ask him.
No.
That would not have been a good ask because I was just thinking there's got to be some guys from East Lansing because that's where Magic's from.
Well, New York,
from.
Obviously.
New York. I mean, you start with Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, you know who the sleeper
Chris
city.
Chris Mullin, yeah.
The sleeper city is Seattle.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Seattle's got a ton of players.
Especially
yeah.
this last 20 years.
Yep. I bet you L.A. probably has a few, too.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Where do you define L.A., though? You know,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
Does it stop at Riverside? Because Riverside's got a pretty good squad.
Riverside does have a good squad. Well, what would be interesting if you took out, like, New York, L.A., and Chicago to take the big cities
right.
out
okay.
and go, okay, let's see if we could find who has the best small city team. Akron would be, like, I mean, come on.
Right.
I don't even need to know any more than that. That's yeah.
When I was a kid, the state of Connecticut was producing guys. They were producing a
were
bunch
they?
Of guys. Rick Mahorn, Michael Adams.
Keith Kloss.
No, stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop it.
Oh,
Keith Kloss.
Where would the Clippers be without Keith Kloss?
You had John Bagley.
John Bagley?
Yeah.
BC?
Yep. Super John Wason was Bridgeport. Yeah, he was from Bridgeport. So was Charles Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had a whole bunch of guys back when, but lately I haven't heard anybody come from Connecticut, to be honest with you.
Huh.
So
that'd be an interesting exercise.
It would be.
You could do that on your 12-game road trip.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'll see you or I won't, I guess.
Yeah, maybe you won't.
Oh, have a good one, Tom.
Yes, thank you, Tom.